brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
So what's top of the news, Bob?
Hey, Doug.
What's top of the news?
It's terrible news.
Terrible news?
In the Congo.
Congo.
Above the Congo, there were about 120 soldiers, their wives and children, in a transport plane.
Yeah.
And they're about 33,000 feet above the ground, 45 minutes after takeoff yesterday. And the rear cargo door blew open.
Oh.
Accidentally, 120 people flew out.
Please tell me this was not a 737 or a 747.
No, no.
Or a 727.
No, it was an Aleutian 76.
An Aleutian 76.
That's a Russian built.
Well, you know, whenever I get on a plane, I read that little card that says what you're on.
Yeah.
I don't remember being on one of those.
Yeah. Boeing planes usually don't, well, I guess I have to take that back, fall apart.
Well, generally speaking. Generally speaking.
This is just horrifying. There were 200 people on the flight, and the remainder clung to the aircraft.
Oh, man.
Just devastating. You know, there's... Any day could be our last day.
And there's an interesting point.
Yeah, any day could be our last day. All those people, there's no way. You know, they were expecting that's it. Their life would end right then.
Folks, give us a call, 800-836-9278. You can call and participate in the program. My name's Doug, host of the Monthly Worldview on KGOV.com. Give us a call and participate. 1-800-836-9278.
Doug, did you see Osama bin Laden killed more terrorist leaders?
Osama bin Laden killed more terrorist leaders.
Yeah, in Gaza City. Well,
I don't know. What news are you reading?
Okay, I got the headline wrong.
Okay.
But actually, Israel, a couple attack helicopters in Israel killed another Hamas leader.
Oh yeah, there's been a good bit of that going on.
A lot of terrorist leaders have been killed in the West Bank and Gaza, and it's really thanks to Osama bin Laden.
How do you make that connection?
Well, he overplayed his hand when he took down the World Trade Center.
Well, that's true.
And unleashed, you know, American wrath on him, the Taliban, Saddam Hussein, and so a couple governments have fallen, and Israel now has a reasonably free hand to go after the terrorists.
You know, there hadn't been these rocket attacks on these guys, now that I think about it,
Not so many.
Not since before September 11th. It didn't happen.
No, and so they killed a 30-year-old senior Hamas militant.
All right.
Responsible for maybe 19 Israeli deaths and terrorist suicide attacks. And then three more Palestinians were killed, including one who blew himself up with a car bomb next to an Israeli tank.
That's always nice.
That's just not a good plan.
Yeah. Okay, now I got a question, Bob, because I have another story that kind of relates to that story.
Yeah.
I can't find it exactly. But anyway, you know the story. Why is it that since September 11th, in addition to unleashing wrath and terror on the terrorists, why has George Bush been so steadfast in his desire to establish a Palestinian state?
Since September 11th? Well, you know, conservative Christians have traditionally been against that.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to maintain that position since Ariel Sharon and the Israeli government supports a Palestinian state.
Well, I'll give you that.
So that's
that kind of makes things difficult. When everyone in the area is a moron, they don't want to... I just read this incredible article by Joseph Farah.
Yeah.
And he's so solid. Did you know he's of Arab descent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's got the facts down on that whole situation. This whole thing about a Palestinian state is a giant ruse, and everybody's bought into it, even the Israeli government.
Well, and, you know, Israel is in trouble in so many ways. One, because the birth rate of the Arabs within Israel, forget about the West Bank and Gaza, within Israel, the Arabs are growing in population percentage-wise, and they're catching up on the Jews.
Yeah.
And eventually, they're going to have parity or even outpace the Jews. So democracy is probably going to be one of the biggest problems Israel will ever have to face.
Yeah, they're
going
to have to rethink that one at some point.
Yeah, democracy will end up being a real big problem.
Yeah. You know, I actually had a discussion with some extreme liberals that I hung out with over the last weekend. Mm-hmm. And when I brought up the idea that the birth rate was important— For the first two or three sentences, they were convinced that I was talking about overpopulation.
Oh, brother.
And I told them, I said, the Arabs are going to outnumber us, for crying out loud. They've got a birth rate that it's scary. And the Western European is going through the floor.
Right.
They were stunned, Bob.
Even the UN has said there's a worldwide crisis with the birth rate.
Right.
Especially in Europe.
These people had never heard anything like that. Their jaws were open. They were like, what are you talking about? Where are you from?
Liberals are incredibly well-educated, aren't they?
Yeah.
So let's see. What else do we have? Oh, the Nixon tape, 18-minute gap. Remember Nixon?
Well,
President Richard Nixon?
I mean, he was a little bit before my time. I remember he was writing books and stuff by the time I became He had a book out like every 3 months. He wrote a book.
Richard Nixon, the Watergate scandal, where
Republicans
broke into the Democratic campaign headquarters at the Watergate Hotel.
Right.
And so Nixon and his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, were trying to figure out how to cover it up.
Yeah, well, allegedly. Well, I guess it's not really alleged.
No, not anymore.
they were trying to cover it up. Okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, Nixon, for some reason, wanted to record everything he said, so it could be used against him.
Right.
But there were an 18-minute gap, and archivists, U.S. archivists, were trying to read what was erased.
Oh, yeah, with some modern digital stuff.
Yeah, and they couldn't do it, and so they said they're going to continue to preserve the tape so that hopefully a future generation with their technology will be able to recover what was on it.
Well, cool. That would be it. I think it'll happen someday. Well,
that would be interesting if it's possible. I don't know. But you know what's interesting? One day, the tapes will be played in full.
Well, yeah. Once we have the technological...
On Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, tapes. Well, Nixon's, Clinton's, mine, yours.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's true.
All tapes will be played on Judgment Day.
And the tape's been rolling even when you're in private.
Yeah.
And you think nobody's looking.
So that will be interesting.
Very interesting point.
Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARD.
No, that last comment will scare away any callers.
Oh, really?
But if you're not scared, call in 1-800-836-9278 if you have the guts. Tape is rolling, by the way.
Yeah. This week we had a convicted murderer call into the show.
Oh, yeah. I got to hear that. And you were very diplomatic with the guy.
With a murderer?
Well, I thought you handled it quite well. And you went ahead and made the point. And I like the way you didn't allow him to tell his sob story. Because, you know, all these guys, they're all innocent. They've all got a story to tell. And they want to tell it, even if it takes 25 minutes of your valuable broadcast time.
Yeah.
So you handled him really well.
Well, what was good is that at the end, he admitted he was guilty in trying to cover up the murder. And so he was not falsely convicted.
Right.
He was rightly convicted, except that he should have been executed. But if we would have had the death penalty... Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. And our phone number could be used not only to call in, but to support the show.
Yes, and to order. I was just back in the deep in the bowels of the KGov headquarters.
Yeah.
And I saw that you've got Revelation on CD.
CD,
and
MP3 CD.
And you've got The Plot on CD.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
MP3 CD.
Those are available? Cool. People could call in and order those?
Yeah, it's so neat. 1-800-836-9278. Our Bible teaching materials, our God and the Death Penalty video, which we talked about on Unraveling the New World Order today.
Oh, yeah. Larry Bates.
Larry Bates show.
Yeah.
That I got the guest host. It was a lot of fun. But then also, if you're interested in a pledge, Doug, on Monday, we'll be sending a note, a 30-day cancellation notice to three of our affiliates.
Oh, that's
three
painful.
Cities. It's painful. In June, we're moving to a daytime hour.
Well,
it
I
looks
like, that.
Like we'll keep Denver tape delay at night while we try to move live in Denver.
Right.
But so there are changes coming up, and unless we get just
massive amounts of money, folks,
some
let's
extraordinary
admit it, massive amounts
support
of money,
in a few cities, we are going to lose Indianapolis, South Bend, and Rochester.
And I know there are hundreds and hundreds of people listening to the show right now in those markets who've never ordered. who've never stepped up to the plate. They've been entertained. They've been educated. They may have been turned around in some of their idiotic liberal thinking. And they just haven't stepped up to the plate. And,
well,
and
if anyone would like to try, we could use the help to stay on the air in those cities and our other cities also.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things going on here, folks.
All right. So call in. All right. And then, Doug, we've had this week, we've had letters from people thanking us for the plot.
Yeah.
Today I talked to a pastor in Indiana, southern India, way south of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
The deep south. And he said that he ordered another five plots, but not from us, from another distributor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lee Homoki.
Oh,
he's a publisher.
Man, that's awesome.
Of Christian materials.
He's great.
And he we give him, say, 100 plots at a time.
Right.
And he puts it in his catalog.
Yeah.
And so this pastor said, yeah, we ordered another five plots from Lee Homoki. That's about 15 so far. This little church has ordered.
That's awesome.
And they use them in their Sunday school.
Yeah. And how much are you getting for the plot these days? $600?
$49.95. Plus shipping and handling. 30-day money-back guarantee. Overview of the whole Bible.
Tremendous. Order today.
Money back unless you're tickled pink.
All right, so Bob, when you opened up, I asked you what was at the top of the news. I thought for sure you were going to open up with the story from the university in Cleveland. A man walks into a school, he opens fire with a machine gun.
Oh, yeah, that's not news anymore. That's just not news.
It's not really that big of a story
anymore. No, shooting in a school in America?
Yeah.
Sadly, that's like dog bites man.
Yeah, you're right. Isn't that amazing, Bob, how far we've come or where we are?
Now, if you have a school teacher kills attacker, that would be like man bites dog.
Yeah, that would be news.
That would be a story.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, another school shooting. Tragically, it's commonplace.
Yeah.
How about the guy arrested in Utah on the Amber Alert?
Yeah, the Amber Alert. That's a sad, sad thing.
Well,
I mean, it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, this is where we are.
It's sad that we need stuff like this.
Our children are so exposed to the nuts and the wackos and the murderers.
Yeah, well, this a sergeant in Utah saw that he got the Amber Alert, and that this 21-year-old guy, Antonio Andrade, was leaving Minnesota, and he had a Utah driver's license.
Uh-huh.
So the sergeant went on the internet and found the driving time from St. Cloud to Provo, Utah, figured out, went to the interstate, and there's the van.
Really? That's awesome.
He got the van. He got the guy. And now this happened yesterday, so the kidnapper's probably been executed already.
Oh, yeah. In your alternate universe, Bob. Unfortunately, he's not even. By now, he's had four hot meals.
Oh.
Bob, he's had four hot meals and some counseling, and he's met with a lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's sad.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat, though? A cop jumps on MapQuest, gets out his calculator.
In his car, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is good.
Figures out when the guy's coming through and then stakes out the freeway and busts the guy.
Now, that's an 11-year-old girl who was rescued. Yeah. How about the 11-year-old girl who crashed into a highway overpass guardrail? And the 18-wheeler she was driving burst into flames and fell on the road.
No, I didn't hear. An 18-wheeler being driven by, how old was she?
You didn't hear this?
I had not heard this story.
Nicole Marie Gonzalez was driving an 18-wheeler.
Okay. And how old did you say she was?
11.
11?
Her father, Lewis, was 35 years old, and her brother, Nicholas, was 3. The three of them burned to death in the wreckage.
Oh, no. Oh,
isn't that just devastating? This is in Howe, Texas.
Yeah. So why is an 11-year-old driving? I mean,
the father was tired.
Okay. Well,
and she was driving. She was behind the wheel. The father had driven a lot.
Yeah.
And so obviously they pieced it together, the story. She was behind the wheel. She still had the steering wheel in her hands when she was removed.
Oh, wow.
What a tragic, terrible story.
Wow.
Everything is so broken. Everything is so backward.
Man, that's painful.
It is painful.
That is painful.
And, you know, one thing liberals don't get, because, you know, liberals are morons, but they don't get that when you have high taxes, it hurts the economy, and people are driven to do things. Now, this is just an extreme and absurd case, but people are driven to extreme measures to try to provide a living.
Yeah, the guy was working too hard. He drove too many hours. He probably was just as much of a threat behind the wheel at that point as an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
He was probably tired.
Yeah, and, you know, he just what a fool.
But he had to get the load in because if he doesn't get paid, maybe he can't pay the rent this week because half of his stuff is going to the bums.
Yeah, and the whatever.
Government.
But generally, a lower standard of living, people die.
That's true.
Liberals don't get that.
Right.
They say no blood for oil.
Yeah, well,
there's no other way.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's no other way. No blood for oil. If you don't get oil, if the economy doesn't run, then people die as the standard of living goes down.
Mm.
Liberals are too stupid to figure
out
any of that.
Man, that's
1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Doug, the House of Representatives have just voted to pass a faith-based hiring rule that, you know, faith-based welfare and all.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
And the
that.
Government gives out now they've been doing this for a long time. They've been giving out billions of dollars in job training money to groups, including religious groups.
Yeah.
But until now, you could not discriminate when you hired if you were taking this federal money.
Uh-huh, right, right.
So now the House of Representatives just voted to say you can discriminate as long as if you take this government money.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that if Jesus were here, he'd overturn the legislation at least.
Yeah. And maybe the tables inside the legislature.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, Jesus said, you're turning my father's house into a den of thieves. And religious groups shouldn't be taking government money to provide welfare.
No.
It's just not the role of government. And it's a huge mistake.
And so isn't this a bizarro story? The liberals are now upset, I'm sure, that the government is going to allow the Christians to discriminate in the way they spend their money.
Right. And some Republican from Arizona.
Yeah.
He's quoted in this Associated Press story saying, well, we don't tell Planned Parenthood they have to hire pro-lifers.
Oh, great.
So why? And I'm thinking, you shouldn't be giving money to Planned Parenthood.
And somebody said we're winning.
We're winning.
So the liberals are upset about something that the Christians should be outraged about.
Yeah, right.
I guess. It's just bizarre.
Everything is backward. Things are so complicated.
Yeah, well,
like
is.
O'Reilly taking to task Patricia Ireland for heading up the YWCA.
Patricia Ireland.
Yeah.
Is heading the YWCA.
Now, who's Patricia Ireland?
She's a famous dyke.
Famous.
From what I... Isn't she?
Well, she's a longtime feminist, pro-lesbian dyke.
She's sick.
Well, she is sick.
She's. I don't think...
She's
that,
a pro-abort. Yeah, she's evil.
I don't think she's a good role model for the young women of America.
Young women Christian
anyway,
Association.
Anyway, how did she hijack this organization? I have been out of the loop. I haven't heard any of these stories.
O'Reilly asked her... If she's a Christian.
Oh, he did on television?
Yeah, on his show.
Oh, really?
On TV. And she said she felt like it was an inquisition. She brings up McCarthy. She's such a moron. So anyway.
Well, no, what was her answer, though?
She wouldn't answer.
Oh, she wouldn't say yay or nay.
So O'Reilly said, well, a Christian believes Jesus Christ is God. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? And she... wouldn't answer.
She wouldn't
so
answer.
So he said, well, what are they going to change the name to the Young Women's I Don't Know Association? Which was actually pretty funny.
Right. Now, Young Women's Christian Association is what?
The YWCA.
And the
YMCA,
right? Same.
Young
Men's Christian Association.
But unfortunately, homosexuals have, you know, turned a number of YMCAs into meat markets.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one downtown in Denver is a flop house for derelicts and drug addicts and alcoholics. It's disgusting.
Mm.
But, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah.
And now Patricia Ireland's the head. All right, now, how did she – do you have any idea how she hijacked this organization?
Now, Doug, I can tell you're being surprised by this video here in Tennessee – I don't know what the outcome of it was, but a woman held her own toddler hostage with a gun to his head.
Oh, man. Is that what that was?
Yeah, she was an escaped convict.
Oh, man.
Holding a gun to her own baby's head.
Oh.
Now, these people should be killed. They should be dead. Like this guy who kidnapped this 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, with
that
the Amber
was yesterday.
Alert? Yeah.
Isn't he dead already?
No.
He should be dead by now.
No, he's being tucked in right now into his air-conditioned heated cell. Yeah. All right. But now, speaking of broken, Bob, I had a debate with a liberal. I was in close contact with a couple of liberals for several days.
Yeah.
It was a very difficult situation.
You pulled through.
I pulled through. But I did my best to plant some seeds, let's say. So we were discussing the death penalty. And at one point, the liberal A was getting very upset. He was beginning to shake and grit his teeth. And liberal B.
So you were doing a good job.
I was doing pretty good. Liberal B, at one point, we're discussing the death penalty. And she said, wait a minute. I can give you one reason why we can't have the death penalty. And I said, you're about to tell me that we're executing innocent people and that the system is too broken and that we run far too much of a risk of executing the innocent. And she just, her face stopped. It was obvious that was exactly what she was about to say.
Right.
And at that point, Liberal A jumped up in the air and screamed, I am not going to do this. My house, my rules, shut up. We are not going to discuss this anymore.
Oh, brother.
At which point, I consider that a successful evening.
Yeah.
Now, definitely, I had planted some seeds. They were for executing. A friend of theirs, daughter, was molested. And I got them to say that, yes, this guy should be executed. I did it in a very sneaky way because I kind of built them up to it. And I said, boy, they should kill a guy who does that. Yeah, you're right. They should.
Right.
But within 5 minutes, they were saying, well, actually, the government shouldn't execute anyone. Who are we to judge? How can we ever be sure?
Right.
And anyway, I sent them fleeing into the night. It was. Mm-hmm. But the broken system, I wanted to get to this, Bob. We've been reading a lot, and these stories make me cringe. Mm. Lately, there's a project run by Barry Scheck and a bunch of other slimy lawyers called Operation Innocence or Project Innocence or whatever.
Right, where there's no such thing as a guilty criminal.
Right, nobody's guilty. And they use DNA evidence, with which Barry Scheck, if you listen to Barry Scheck in the OJ trial, you couldn't trust DNA evidence.
Right.
You had to be on LSD to understand the DNA. You remember that, right, OJ?
Yeah.
Who could understand? Well, now Barry Scheck is springing guys on DNA evidence. And out in California, I'm just reading this article, out in Los Angeles, one of the 598 people, now tell me we don't have a broken system, 598 wrongfully convicted people are going to be awarded cash money by the state of California.
Hmm.
Okay, and they're going to get, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're going to get $100 for every day they spent in jail.
Oh.
All these wrongfully convicted people. Well, one of these guys, and this is a story that I read about, and it made me cringe.
Yeah.
One of the guys named Leonard McSherry, right? He was convicted of rape, and he spent 13 years in prison for rape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was exonerated by DNA evidence.
You know what? I don't know anything about the story.
Yeah.
My guess is he's probably guilty.
Do you think?
But go ahead. Even though he was exonerated.
All right. Now, he was exonerated by DNA evidence, and Governor Gray Pink Davis came out and announced on Tuesday, this is back on the 2nd right at the end of April when he made the announcement.
Yeah.
Gray Davis made the announcement that this guy is going to get $480,000.
Oh,
this guy, right?
That's good.
Well, this guy heard
that's
the story.
That's good work if you can get it.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad for 13 years. Anyways. The guy heard the story, this Leonard McSherry, heard the story on TV. He was sitting in jail.
Huh.
He had been arrested for loitering near an elementary school.
Oh, good. All right, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's the number to call in or to order some of our materials like our videos. This is a fun list of videos, planets, stars, and the Bible.
Oh, that's a great one. Isn't that where you talk about biblical astrology?
Astronomy.
Astronomy?
Well, we call it Bible astronomy.
But you talk about astrology in there.
Well, we talk about the zodiac and the stars and the planets.
Now, see, most Christian teachers, they avoid that topic altogether. They don't want to get into the zodiac. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't want, you know, astrology. The Bible condemns astrology.
Well, yeah.
But it also mentions some of the planets and stars.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, well, some of the stars. So it's in some of the zodiacs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it mentions zodiacs. And you wonder where the zodiacs came from. You do a really neat thing on that.
And God put the stars in the heavens, and he said he put them there for signs.
Right, right.
And so it's fun to find out everything we can about planets, the stars, and the Bible.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who love looking at the stars. They got telescopes and stuff.
Yeah, there'll be an eclipse May 15th.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cool to be able to relate. You know, you have this love for astronomy and checking out the stars. Well, there's a reason you have this driving desire inside you to look at the stars and see something.
Yeah, the heavens declare the handiwork of God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the word. You look at it and it's awesome.
That's a cool video.
So we have planets, stars in the Bible. We've got the trouble with lawyers.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it where that guy, he calls you up and he says he's going to become a lawyer?
Yeah, there's a few callers.
Yeah, there's several callers, but I remember.
And they're
the
all
one.
Lawyers and they're all liars.
All right. One, oh, yeah.
They all lie on the show.
Yeah, several are lawyers.
Yeah.
And this one poor guy wants to
however it goes. Lawyers, law students.
And liars.
Video fruitcake.
Yeah, now that's a crack up.
That's a funny video. Now we have to make a new cover for that, make it look like a fruitcake.
That would be, yeah, the sleeve should have chunks of candy and fruit.
Yeah.
And it should be a golden brown.
How did fruitcake ever become popular?
Well, you know, the several that are in circulation were made many hundreds of years ago.
I think it's so gross, that stuff. And people get it for a Christmas gift. They just freeze it all year and send it back to the same person the next year.
You know what? My wife loves fruitcake.
She does?
She does. She's the only person I've ever met.
Well, and then,
but you know what she likes better?
What?
Is the video fruitcake, which we have in our collection.
And so instead of sending an actual fruitcake for next Christmas, stock up on some video fruitcakes right now. All right, 1-800-836-9278. So, Doug, the thing with DNA evidence is it could be used to convict with extraordinary certainty.
Oh, sure.
Some guy says, I never saw this woman, and she was attacked, beat, or raped, and you find his DNA on her.
Yeah.
That's pretty good evidence, unless it was planted on her.
It was very compelling.
On the other hand, if some woman identifies a guy that raped her, or she was killed, and her friends identified this guy, you've got four or five pieces of evidence that he did it, and then they find someone else's DNA on her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can have DNA from a number of people on you,
right?
Depending on what you've done recently.
That's
and
true.
And so the guy who killed her may not have raped her.
Oh, wow.
And so there could be strong evidence that someone is guilty of a crime, and then you find DNA on the person that doesn't match the suspects.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily exculpatory, but they use it as though it is, absolutely.
Yeah. So Barry Sheck and them guys, they got a racket going. Because listen to this. The guy I was just talking about, this Leonard McSherry.
Half a million, and he's in jail.
Half a million. He's going to get the money regardless. Now, he had prior convictions. Now, this is before he was convicted of the rape.
Before rape.
Before rape, he had prior convictions for child molestation, kidnapping, indecent exposure, and loitering near elementary
school. He should have been killed a long time ago.
You're right. There never should have been the opportunity for this mistake to have been made.
That's right. He should have been dead.
He should have been dead.
Before this, and you know what? He's probably guilty. And now he not only gets to, you know, come to America where you could rape women and get paid for it.
Yeah, right. Unbelievable.
Half a million bucks.
$500,000 he's going to receive, along with about 600 other allegedly falsely convicted.
Our government is so broken.
It's a mess.
It does everything wrong. Now it's like into gambling big time.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about Bill Bennett.
Bill Bennett. Did you read that? Have you talked about that?
Well, not much.
I read the story.
On another show. I talked about it on Jesse Lee Peterson's
show. They say he dropped about $8 million. Well, no.
Well,
it's the numbers are... Yeah, he says he broke about even over the past 10 years.
Yeah, which, well, he was playing video poker and slots. Now, that's the worst part of the story. That is downright embarrassing.
I know. When you think about a high roller, right?
Yeah.
Bill Bennett.
You know, baccarat or craps or something, poker. He's playing video poker? What, at a gas station?
He's sitting next to some old lady with a Virginia Slim hanging out of her mouth, pulling on that
thing. It's just terrible. You know, if you go to the casinos up in Blackhawk and Central City in the mountains just west of Denver, you walk through those places, everybody is miserable.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
We've gone there. You know, Cheryl and I will go there. We take the kids, and we go to eat there. It's less expensive.
Yeah.
And it's not too far from here.
Right.
Our underground bunker here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
Right. You can shoot right up there.
It's just up, you know, through the three tunnels. Yeah. You're there.
And you can get a good steak for little money up
there. Well, for a while, you get prime rib for $2.95, the whole meal. We went there so many times, that was the end of that.
You better start gambling, mister, or we're just going to throw you out.
You know, we used to bring we have friends who would always treat us to dinner. And we could never, the restaurants we went to, we couldn't afford to treat them.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, let's bring them up here to Central City. We said, we want to take you guys out for prime rib. They said, oh, okay.
All right.
We brought them up there, $2.95 a plate. So we got out tip and all. It was like $15. And then the guy spent $500 on the slots.
Oh, no.
I felt so guilty. I'm like, we can't even treat you guys for prime rib.
Oh,
but at any rate, so Bill Bennett... Jesus said in Matthew 20, can I not do with my money what I will? Is it not lawful for me to spend my money how I will?
Right, right.
You can't pay someone to murder, but you could spend your money on entertainment if you choose. It's not guilt. It shouldn't be against the law.
Right.
But it's embarrassing.
Yeah, the slot machine slots, thing is embarrassing.
And video poker. And you can't break even on the slots after.
Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Bennett, I've heard him. He thinks the lotteries are a bad idea, and he doesn't like the idea of the government being involved.
That's a disaster. Right. The government should not be in the gambling.
Right. Now, because he gambles on a regular basis in a private concern with his own money, has he now lost his right to speak out on gambling? It doesn't help his situation.
Well, yeah.
I mean, obviously.
You know, there are many conservatives who will be more upset with him than liberals. Liberals just think it's funny.
Right.
And that he's a hypocrite. But he's actually not a hypocrite because he's always said gambling should be legal. And as long as you don't gamble the bread money.
Right.
Or the rent money.
Right.
Then
right.
fine.
And
government shouldn't be in the gambling business.
The government should not be in the business of taxing poor suckers, which is what the lottery is.
For the most part.
And they right. show these commercials, and they have the big wheel and the lights, and you could win a million. And I know, Bob, every poor person I know, and I know a lot of poor people, I mean relatively poor,
yeah,
middle class and lower middle class,
yeah,
they all have a specific plan laid out for what they will do if and when they win the lottery.
And when they go... when they go to get lottery tickets, I didn't know this for years. I don't know why I was so in the dark. But they buy $10 worth or $20 or $50 worth of lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought maybe, you know, once a month they'd buy $1 ticket.
Oh, no.
This is a tax on the poor and the stupid.
The poor and the stupid, yeah. Yeah, right. It is.
So you have sin tax, poor tax, stupid tax.
Right. And the poor are getting killed from all different angles because they're
And conservatives poor. Are all into, you know, unfortunately, conservative politicians, they've gone right along with this. You know, fully Republican-controlled states have gambling to raise money.
And the lottery is the lowest form. It used to be called a numbers racket.
Right.
And they used to arrest guys in Chicago for doing it.
Right.
But now the state runs the numbers racket.
Now in Massachusetts, I guess they're not taking enough money in from their lottery.
Yeah.
And so now they want to sell the naming rights to their state parks and forests.
Okay. Oh, man.
Is that too
much? Wait a minute. The state parks and the forests. Now, not just the stadiums.
No, ballparks are one thing, but they want to sell the naming rights to forests.
Okay.
And, like I guess, wetlands and parks. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's unbelievable. What happened to all that tobacco money?
Yeah, right. I guess they'll have maybe the Pampers Wetlands Preserve.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Isn't that funny? That's just ridiculous.
Well, and, you know, they could still be at the cigarette money, the Winston-Salem State Park or you know, something like that.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I wanted to talk about a racial issue.
Uh-oh.
And this might catch you off guard.
Racial issues are always very sensitive issues.
Yeah, because it's been in the news the past, you know, week or so. And so I just want to run it by you.
Okay.
You know, there's a black organization and conservatives or whites will call into a talk show and say, you know, why isn't there a white organization? Why is there a black beauty pageant? Why is there a black caucus?
Right.
Why isn't there a white caucus? And I'm not the least worried about being called a racist on any issue.
No.
I don't care. If, you know, because I'm not. And I love people of every race. And so if I'm going to point out that there's more crime in the black community or 70% of black babies are born without dads in the home, I don't hesitate because that information is vital.
Yeah, and it's valid, and it's not
true,
racially
biased. So I couldn't give a rip.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, Ebonics.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the sentence? It comes after the trial. Whatever. I don't care.
See, you can get away with that because you're not a racist.
No.
Yeah, you can say things like that.
Because I truly do love the blacks that I know that are in my life. You know, I love and respect them equally to any other group of people, whites, pinks. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I always give a guy a fair shake. I always give a guy a fair shake no matter what the color of his skin is.
Yeah.
Unless he's a homo. I mean, then I'm obviously going to prejudge him.
Okay. All right. So anyway, but I want to talk about these organizations like, you know, black organizations and whites will say, well, why can't we have an all-white college or an all-white
White entertainment television. Where's white entertainment television?
Yeah, right. But, you know, that's never set well with me.
Yeah.
That's never set well with me. And here's why. Let's say there's an Italian club.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Polish club, black caucus, black college. I don't have a problem with any of those things.
Yeah.
A Romanian school in Chicago where you could study in Romanian.
That's cool.
Fine.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But a white organization, what I've realized, I think through this issue, it's really run by people who are racist. Oh. And the purpose of it is to keep out blacks. Whereas if you have, you know, my family's mostly Italian.
Right.
If you have an Italian club and your Polish neighbor wants to come along, come on, have some lasagna. We don't care. Paisano.
Bring some sausages, though. That's all we have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't care. But a white group would be organized for the purpose of a racist motive, for the most part.
Exclusionary purposes.
Yeah, whereas a Polish group, an Italian group.
Well, but
whatever.
If I could play devil's
Irish
advocate.
Irish group.
Yeah, but if I could play devil's advocate for a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time a white person was asked or allowed to join the NAACP?
Well,
or are they?
Well, they're racist. That group's racist.
It's Bob Inyart Live. The number to call to order the products is 1-800-836-9278. Start with the plot on audio tape or on CD-ROM. Get an overview of the whole Bible. You can also get it in its literature form, its raw form.
In manuscript form.
Manuscript form.
In English. And then
well, yeah, now in English for now.
Yeah, and on the website, we hope to, by June, put up chapter one of the plot in four different languages.
Wow.
On KGov to get people interested, hopefully.
Yeah.
Just spark something, a little bit of interest.
Your own effort at multiculturalism.
Yeah, so we'll put up a Spanish version, a German version, a Russian version.
Yeah.
What other versions we have out there? A Polish version?
Why don't you have a black version yet? Are you excluding the blacks?
Ebonics?
No, they speak English generally. Although we could find someone to do it in Swahili
someday. We've actually been talking to a minister who's bilingual, Swahili native speaker.
Wow.
English as second language, and he's considering translating the plot into Swahili.
Now, that's a big job. It's a relatively thick. It's not that thick. It's 330 pages.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you're covering a topic as big as an overview of the whole Bible,
yeah,
you do it in relatively concise and easy-to-understand segments.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a tremendous book.
You know, people, just the input we've had this week from people, just today.
Yeah.
The Indiana pastor I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Who said they use it, they have a small church.
Yeah.
They use it in his Sunday school class, and now they've bought 15 of them.
Oh, wow. That's
and
awesome.
That's not only does it support Bob and Eric Live, but it helps to get out a solid overview of the Bible.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, if you need it in another language.
If you need it in another language.
If you have some Hispanic friends, or if you yourself speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Habla español.
Sí.
That.
Yeah. La trama.
La trama. That's right.
Mi libro es, llama La trama. Yo no hablo español porque yo no estudio mucho en la escuela.
Okay.
Y mi profesor es estúpido y yo no estudio nada.
Publico sculo.
Sí.
Well, you know my take on the plot, Bob. What? And I've read all the big ones, okay? I read Rush Limbaugh's book, right? He was a big one, right?
Yeah, Rush's book.
I read Michael Savage. I read Bill O'Reilly. I read Matt Drudge. And the one thing I got to say for all of them, none of them wrote anything close to the plot.
Oh, duck. One 800 8 N Yards, 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, Doug, the NAACP, I actually think they'll let whites join.
Yeah, I know. And the National Organization of Women has lots of male members.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But the I don't say the NAACP because that's racist. Can't call people color people.
Can't call them colored anymore.
So they're African American, so it's the NAAAA.
The NAAA.
So whenever you think of queasy and fumey, just say nah. Whenever you think of race norming, just say nah.
Right. Reparations.
Just say nah. Yeah. NAAA, nah. So anyway.
Okay. Anyway, that's an interesting take on racism.
That's my take on it. That somebody wants to have an Italian club,
yeah.
Polish, Irish club.
Yeah.
That's fine. White club? Set right with me.
And you only hear that, and it's like once every 6 weeks, someone will call a right-wing radio show, and he'll spout that. Well, why, every time a race story. And he's probably a racist. He's sitting in his trailer house or whatever. You know,
possibly.
He's a racist.
Yeah, redneck.
Yeah, he's a racist.
But now, not all rednecks are racist, right?
No way. Some of them are the most solid backbone of the country.
That's
if it wasn't
true.
For rednecks, there'd be
That's
no
true.
NASCAR.
But you know what? I got a kick at O'Reilly did a poll of his audience on the white prom in Georgia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About, what was it? About almost a third of his audience thought it was fine or that they would send their kids to a white-only prom.
Oh.
And I wouldn't. I think it's racist.
Yeah, that's pretty.
But an Italian, like I've said, you know, I don't have to repeat it 40 times.
Well, I'm not going to send my daughter to any kind of dance where there's 16 and 17-year-old boys. That's all, whether they're white, black, or green. She's not going.
Amen to that.
She's not going, that's all.
Amen to that.
Now, she's too young to be listening, and so, I'm setting myself
last
up.
Last night, I had Hal Lindsey on the show.
Wow.
And he wrote Late Great Planet Earth.
Yes. I remember my mom and dad read that book, and they were ready.
They were ready.
Oh, I mean, they
Everybody.
Were ready.
Everybody. He sold, what,
they were spending money like drunken sailors. I mean, it was the end of the world, man.
The end of the world.
What was the point?
And, of course, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
But I didn't have the heart to bring that up to him.
He's such a nice guy.
But what I wanted to do, what we do with all conservatives that come on the show, is try to nudge them in some little way. Toward the right or toward a new insight. And so he wrote this book on the hatred of, you know, everlasting hatred, Islam and the Arabs against the Jews and the Christians. And he took it back to Abraham having Ishmael and then Isaac having Esau.
Okay. Now that's where a lot of people go with it.
Yeah, that's where, you know, a lot of it started. But I try to take it back a couple hundred years before that. To when Noah had his grandson, Canaan, who was cursed as the father of the Canaanites, and it's the Canaanites that Ishmael and Esau intermarried with. So it's really the Canaanites.
Wow.
You know, Ham, Noah's son Ham, had a son named Canaan. But I know that Christian leaders and authors, they don't understand that story. They don't know what to make of it because it says that Ham saw his father's nakedness.
Oh, that blows them away right there. They can't.
They
go
don't
on.
Know what to make of it,
and so they leave that story aside, and they don't want to fit it into.
Yeah,
yeah, you're
so,
right. You're
so
right.
Ham saw his father's nakedness, and so his little baby Noah's grandson Canaan was cursed.
Right,
he's cursed because his father saw his dad naked. Doesn't make any sense.
You're right.
And why should the Canaanites be? What's going on?
Hmm.
So anyway, I told Hal Lindsey that that's a Hebrew idiomatic expression in the Bible. If you commit incest with your brother's wife, the Bible says you've uncovered your brother's nakedness.
Hmm.
With your father's wife, you've uncovered your father's nakedness. With your neighbor's wife, you've uncovered your neighbor's nakedness.
Right.
So when Noah became drunk, his son Ham uncovered his father's nakedness, seduced or raped his own mother, and they had this incestuous, this baby,
a child,
of incest.
Obviously was born.
So Canaan, of course, Canaan was cursed.
Not cursed by God maliciously.
No, not mystically, but he was born of incest.
So he was his genetics were corrupted, or
his
he was
genetics
messed up.
And his morals. And yeah. Who's your mother? Who's your family?
Oh wow, yeah,
you
he
know,
was a
your
messed
mother
up kid.
Is your grandmother.
Ooh, wow.
Your father is your uncle.
So he was a mess.
Yeah, he was a mess.
He was cursed.
His father was a mess. His mother was a mess. He was cursed.
Wow.
And so then Abraham's ungodly descendants intermarried with Canaan's descendants.
That's right.
And we have, you know, those who've been enemies of the Jews for 4,000 years. But
yeah.
It's really started with Noah. And Ham and Canaan.
Right.
So anyway, I try to just let that out there for Hal Lindsey to hear, to find out what it means that Ham uncovered his father's nakedness.
So he had never,
well, he
Hal
had never
Lindsey
heard
had
that.
Never. Really?
And, but, you know, we try to do it real subtly.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Bob. The first time you told me that, I never heard it either. And then you showed me, like, there's three or four places in the Bible where it's glaringly obvious what it means.
Oh, yeah, probably a dozen actual verses.
Okay, I was trying.
Three or four different.
Trying to not make myself look so.
No, but three or four different places.
That
right.
Where it's extremely. And if anyone had just taken the time over the last.
Just to look up.
4,000 years to
just,
try to put
to
that together.
Just to look up the phrase.
Yeah, which now we've had concordances for nigh on a long time.
Yeah.
So it's not like the information hasn't been available and in the public domain.
No.
It just somehow we never. And Bob, I know a lot of very intelligent, intellectual people who reject the Bible based on misunderstandings of that story
like
and some other similar stories.
Yeah, right.
And that's one of the great things about your ministry is that you're working so hard to put things together to help people who have every reason to accept the Bible, except for these things that they just don't understand that make that they struggle with.
Right.
And when you clear up, sometimes it's like a dam breaking. You clear up this thing and someone's like, oh, and it blows their mind. And before you know it, they know the Lord.
Right. Now, I have a theory about why so many Christian authors and leaders don't understand 100 of these examples in the Bible is because the whole Bible, Christians don't understand the Bible. They just don't get the big picture of the Bible. And so they expect, when they read a chapter in the Bible, they expect that it's not going to make any sense.
I remember being of that attitude when I was in my 20s.
Right.
Now, I know this does, but I know it's good for me.
Yeah.
So
right.
I'm going to read it.
Doesn't make any sense.
I did that.
Let's read it. And so when they read stuff like, Noah's grandson was cursed because his dad saw his father naked.
Right.
They think, well, that's weird.
Yeah,
and just move on.
Yeah.
No effort to say, well, maybe this is rational.
Hmm.
Maybe it actually makes sense.
Hmm.
They don't, because they're used to the Bible not making sense. That's why we did the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. And, you know, no No ministry, no business has a money-back guarantee like Bob and Your Life.
No, not like the plot.
No, we have a money-back guarantee if you're not tickled pink.
Or extremely happy, as we like to say.
If you're not tickled pink. Or if you don't, after you read the plot, if you don't dance on your kitchen table, then you get your money back.
Well, I've got to tell you, Bob, I've given the plot to some very learned Christian men, and they have not read it. They have flat out decided they're... I think it's intellectually easier for people who are at a certain point in their life, or for whatever reason, they would just prefer to say, we just can't understand some things in the Bible. They're just beyond our comprehension. Ham was cursed, and God did it, and who are you to question who he is? Instead of trying to find out, well, maybe this story has a meaning that can be rationally understood.
Maybe it's really reasonable instead of bizarre.
No, they prefer a bizarre mystical God for some
reason.
Because
it's more evidence that they don't have to try to understand it. Well, you should do what my mother does.
Oh, yeah?
She gives people something, and she says, I need this back on Friday.
Oh.
And so, like, give somebody chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I need this back on Friday. How fast can you read? Do you know how to read? No. No, you can't insult people. But, I need it back on Friday. And also, it's, you know, it's hard to get people to read a book.
I need some different tactics is what it is, I think. Yeah. I need to be a little more I will get with your mom and get down all of her best tactics for tricking people into learning to understand the Bible.
She's good at it. Yeah. Now, when I was a teenager, we used to take Bible tracts and roll them into the toilet paper rolls. So people unroll the paper and a Bible tract come out.
That's
and it said,
good.
What do you need to do to go to hell? I mean, what a thing to read.
To go to hell, you say?
Yeah, what you need to do to go to hell. And you open
no,
it up.
That's a good line to open.
You open it up and it's blank. Just totally blank. You can make that on your computer.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. What a great opening line.
What do you need to do to go to hell?
Right.
Open it up. It doesn't say anything.
You have to do anything.
Now, of course, it requires a smarter person.
Right. And you have to put something further up the roll, obviously, right?
Well.
Unless you're just wanting to get them thinking.
Yeah, that's
which a lot. That's half the battle is just to get someone's attention and make them consider the possibility that they might go to hell.
Yeah,
that's
is
a huge step in someone's life to realize they're going to hell.
Hey, Doug, did you see this Hollywood Reporter has been tuning into Bob and Your Live again, and they've taken a poll. Is it 20%? Only 20% of teens think that it's wrong to download copyrighted songs.
20% of teens think it's wrong to download copyrighted music.
Yep.
Wow. 20%, huh?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing it's that high?
Well, actually, no. I was kind of thinking that was low, but I guess now that I think about it.
20%?
Almost everyone I know thinks it's okay.
20% of the gross national product?
Oh, yeah. This is teenagers?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Really?
That's excellent. It's not excellent.
It's surprising, that many people.
But it's surprisingly high. But you know what? I think that percent might be about the same as the percent of Christians.
Who think it's wrong.
Yeah. Or at least who will refrain from doing it.
Uh-huh. Well, 80% even of the Christians probably say, well, that's a gray area. You know, it's needs more debate. We need to discuss it.
Right.
Anyway, but you know, if the record companies hadn't ripped off so many people for so many years, people would be a lot less eager to steal from them. And if they weren't so degenerate
and immoral
and disgusting.
They're so evil.
But
right?
Still... I guess we don't have the right to steal their stuff.
You don't steal from evil people.
Right.
Hey, Doug, that story about 128 people falling out of that plane.
The jet in Congo.
When you go to it on abcnews.com, you get this pop-up ad of take a flight by Expedia.com. It is such in poor taste.
Ah, the internet age.
All right, thanks, Doug. This is Bob in here reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.